God. I said there's power in the word of the Lord. It was the psalmist that had a great love for the word of God. Psalms 119, the largest chapter there is in the entire Bible. Every scripture makes mention of the word, the precept, the testimony, the statutes, the commands of God. Some word in there is made mention of. And David said throughout Psalms 119, and I like to just deal with this just a few moments to lay my foundation. He said in verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his path? By giving heed thereunto according to my word. He said in verse number 11, I've hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He said in verse number 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He said in verse number 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. He said in verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. He said in verse number 140, every word of thine is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Amen. He said in verse number 160, thy servant rejoices at the finding of thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. It was Jeremiah that said that the word of the Lord was shut up like fire in his bones. I've heard a lot of folks get real emotional and say, this thing is like Jeremiah. It's like fire shut up my bone. Jeremiah wasn't hyped up on some emotional mood. Jeremiah said, thy word is like fire shut up in my bones. Hey man, you know why he was able to say that in Jeremiah chapter 22 and 29? Hey man, because he had said in Jeremiah 15, 16, thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was the rejoicing and the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by the name of the Lord. Amen. Do you know there is a reason that we need the word of God? Amen. The reason we've got deacons in the church to handle matters, amen, is so that the preacher, amen, can fast and pray and give himself to the ministry of the word. Amen. The Bible says the word was multiplied in those days. Amen. And there was people saved. If we want individuals touched, we've got to stay in the word of the Lord. I said we've got to stay in the word of the Lord. Amen. It was one of the writers that said, O earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord. If there, stay with me now. I want you to understand, amen, that we need the word of God. I want you to understand that there was a time that there was not a New Testament Bible. There was a time there was not a New Testament Bible. I mean, the things that were wrote about Paul was not written until after Paul had performed those things. Some of the things that were written about Jesus was not written until after they were done. We find in the book of St. Luke, chapter number 1, and I like to read just a portion of those scriptures, chapter number 1, and that's not my text tonight, but I need to read some of these scriptures so that you can understand what I'm going to be preaching about tonight. St. Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. In other words, we're going to write these things, and I want you to understand, Theophilus, the things that I've got to write unto you, and the things that are believed surely among us, we're going to write them in a declaration, and we're going to set them in order as from the beginning of those that were eyewitnesses. And I'm going to write this epistle to you, Theophilus, and I'm going to write it from the eyewitnesses of them that have seen it. But there was a time there was not the book of Luke. There was a time there was not a book of Mark. There was a time there was not a book of Matthew. I mean, there was a time that Paul had never wrote to the Thessalonians. There was a time that Paul had never wrote to the Ephesians. There was a time that Paul had never wrote to the church of Romans. There was a time that Paul had never wrote to the church of Corinth. Listen to me now. I'm trying to tell you, these things were eyewitnesses and they were ministers. And it said, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Amen. I'm going to write this to prove them, for they are sure and they are true and they are surely believed among us. And the things that we preach from this pulpit, amen, it's not words that we heard from another. Amen. It's not a belief that we read about from the days of old. It's things that we believe in ourselves. Amen. So I want you to understand, if there was never, or if there was a time that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was not recorded in the Bible, then there were times that the Scripture had to be referred back to from Moses and the prophets. How many remembers when Jesus was resurrected? He joined two men that was on their way down to Emmaus. Amen. And as He joined Himself down there, they did not know who He was. And He made as if He would go elsewhere, but they constrained Him to stay. Amen. And the Bible says that He opened the Scriptures concerning Himself in Moses and the prophets. Amen. That was before the book of Acts was written. He done this before the book of Acts was written. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. Amen. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us while He opened the Scripture unto us? Well, if our hearts are not burning with the Scripture being opened to us, service after service, then there's a possibility that we need to find a prayer place and ask God to generate and stir us up. Amen. For you must understand that if there was not a New Testament for men and women to go by, then there was a problem among the days of old for people writing letters that was not of the apostles. Amen. People would write letters and they would sign them and they would say that they were from the apostles, but they were not of the apostles. And therefore, it was needful for every man to understand what was being written, whether it was of God or not of God. Amen. You will find in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 21, the Bible says that the salutation of me, Paul, with my own hand. In other words, He's letting him know that he is the one that has written it. He's letting him understand that it's by him that is recorded. Amen. I mean, it's by him for them to understand that he has wrote these things. Amen. You will find also in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse 10. It says, therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me in edification, and not to destruction. In other words, He's letting them know that He has written it. Amen. Stay with me now. I know this is very strange, but we need to understand there was a time that there was not a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, and 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, and Colossians. I mean, we need to understand those things, beloved. Amen. And if they were not the New Testament written, then there was a possibility that men would write things that was not right. They would write things that were not so. And they would sign some an apostle's name and send it to a church, but it was not of God. I said it was not of God. Amen. You will find in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 16, it says, and when this epistle is writ among you, cause it to be writ also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. It goes on, and then you will find in 2 Thessalonians, you will find that there is trouble that is being written. You will find that there are other epistles that were not written of the apostles. You will find in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, you will find verse number 17 says, the salutation of Paul, with my own hand, which is a token in every epistle, so I write. In other words, he autographed every epistle to let them know that there was things being written that was not of God. It's proven. It's proven in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. When it says, "Now we beseech ye, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As that the day of Christ is at hand." And He says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Paul is telling the church of Thessalonica is that there's men that are writing and saying that the resurrection is past, and it overthrew the faith of some. But don't you believe it? For we've already gave you signs, and we've already told you things that must take place before the coming of the Lord is at hand, before the catching away of the church and the gathering of the saints, if you please. May I stay with me now? Hang in here with me. I want to drive it home, friend, because somehow or another we forget there was a time that there was not a Bible. We forget there was a time there was not a New Testament. Amen. And if there was not a New Testament, and you was turning folks from law to grace, and you was turning them from way from something that has been established for us, for there were many that would stand like you and I and say that it was a compromised doctrine. There would be many that would say, it's been established by the foundation of the world that there should be blood sacrifices and there should be animal offerings. And it's been established by God. And as far as this man by the name of Jesus Christ that come riding into Jerusalem on the coat of a fowl of an ass, I don't know nothing about him. And I don't believe that's him. I'm waiting on another. I'm waiting on one to be born in a palace. I'm waiting on one to be born in royal apparel. I'm waiting on the rib boy to be born. Born rich. I'm not waiting on a lowly Nazarene. And you've got to understand that it's not easy to turn people away from something that's been established for years. Amen. And turn them to the power of God. Amen. I want you to understand this. Stay with me. If you'll just tarry with me a little bit here tonight, I'll do my best. As far as I know, I never preached like this before. I've never dealt with this subject. I've never dealt with this matter. Amen. But I want us to understand there was a time that there was not a New Testament. And if there was not a New Testament, we had to beware of what we believed. We had to beware of what we believed. Amen. Can somebody say amen to me? I said we had to beware of what we believed. Now let's look tonight in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. I'll take my text here. As long as we understand that there was people such as Paul that had fought for the law. He was a Pharisee raised up at the feet of Gamaliel. And really he was doing what he thought was right by persecuting them that would turn to Christ. And man, and it was not a preacher that won him. It was not a service that he was born again in. Amen. It was not a great evangelist that convicted his soul. But brother, it took Jesus Christ himself. Amen. To speak to him in the Hebrew language on the road to Damascus. Amen. With letters in his hand from the high priest and from the council of the Sanhedrin to convict him and turn his life around. When he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now listen, Jesus was already dead, resurrected, and now he's on the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And why is he saying, "Persecutest thou me? For what unto you do unto these little ones, you have done unto him." And if you persecute a child of God, amen, you're mocking and you're spitting in the face of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Amen. Now Paul knew these things. He knew that there was people that was teaching things. Can I pull my coat off? He knew there was people preaching things that was not of God. He knew that there was people writing epistles and writing letters that was not of God. It's no different in our day very much. The only difference of our modern day is that we've got some preachers that's got a better telephone ministry than they do a pastor ministry. We've got some evangelists that's got a better telephone ministry than they do evangelistic ministry. Amen. And they can get more gossip spread it on the telephone ministry, amen, than they can preach the gospel from the pulpit. And they spread bad news and they tell lies, amen, and they destroy and they kill and kill the influence of good men. And it's simply because they want favor and friendship, amen, with everybody that they find. But let me tell you, if you're washed in the blood, friend, you cannot be friends with everybody. If you're born again, everybody's not your buddy. Everybody's not your friend. Everybody ain't gonna like you. Everybody ain't gonna press $100 bills in your hand. It's time to turn around and seek the face of God and find out what's right and what is wrong. So we find tonight in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 1. I preached real fast there. I said all of that just so that you understand. If you didn't understand it all, see the tape here. The tape man, he'll give you a tape. Amen. Amen. Verse number 1 says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you? In other words, what Paul is saying, do I need to get you to write me a letter and commend me unto this church? Or do I need to send you a letter, amen, to tell you who I am? I mean, there's so much writing around here. Amen. There's so many folks sending epistles and they're telling things that's not true, things that's not right. And what they was doing, they was writing epistles. They was writing epistles to churches and saying, have these epistles read, but they were signing the wrong name to it. It's no different. It's no different. I mean, we've got these just so-called bookworms. Amen. They'll spend hundreds of dollars, amen, for books. Put them in a library. Never read them. Never know whether they're good books or bad books. All they do is they buy them because somebody else has bought one like it. Amen. And then they won't even send $10 to the mission field. Then they won't even make one travel trailer payment for Bart Hatfield. Amen. Then they won't help one church expand. Amen. And give to a building fund. And they got thousands of dollars in books that they'll never read, and they'll never know whether they're good books or bad books. Amen. And I'm not preaching against books. I'm preaching against folks that's got books and got hobbies and got habits and they won't ministry and help the Word of God to be expanded. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, Paul was saying, I don't need a letter from you. Amen. I'm not writing a letter to you. Amen. We don't need those things. What we need to do is live a life, amen, that is holy and righteous in a wicked and adulterous in a sinful world, that individuals may know that there's somebody that's not living in the ballrooms, and there's somebody that's not living in the red light district, and there's somebody that's not living on skip rope, and there's some people that are not turned to sin and sick and lust of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, but they're still living holy and righteous and pure in the sight, amen, of God Himself. Amen. He talks about the letters, and then in verse number 2, he says, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye manifestly declare to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. That not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit give it life. Amen. I want to preach on the simple subject tonight. Amen. The public Bible. The public Bible. The public Bible. That's right. I said the public Bible. The public Bible is a Bible that is read by the public. The public Bible is a Bible that is inspected, amen, by the public. The public Bible is a Bible that is judged by the public. Amen. I want you to understand, if there was a time that there was not a New Testament, if there was a time that we did not know what the Bible had to say about it, and we received letters or we received epistles from other men, and we read them, how easy would it have been for us to determine the true epistle away from the false epistle? How easy would it be for us to receive an epistle, amen, delivered by someone in the church, and they would say it is saluted by the hand of Paul himself. But someone would begin to read, amen, and some would say, yes, that's Paul's writing. That sounds just like the apostle. Amen. That sounds just like him that is born out of due season. But somebody else says, wait a minute. Amen. I was over at the church of the Laodiceans. I was over at the church of Galatia. I was over at the church of Colossians. Amen. Maybe I was down in Corinth and I heard this epistle read. And it doesn't sound like the same epistle and the same writings and the same teachings that he delivered to them. Amen. Maybe there's a mix up here. Maybe there's a confuse here. Maybe someone's wrote something that's not right. Amen. Listen to me, friend. What I'm trying to get over to you is simply this. I believe our church would be very much deceived, amen, if we didn't have a Bible to go by. I mean, if we didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts, and Romans, and Corinthians, amen, and Ephesians, and Galatians, and the others to go by. I believe we would be very much deceived. Because as I travel this country, as I travel from place to place, as I stand in pulpits across the land preaching, I find that there is a spirit of deception. I found that there is a spirit of deceitfulness. I found that there is a spirit among the churches that do not even want to accept the Bible as it is. Amen. They don't want to line up to it. Amen. They don't want to line their life up to the Word of God. And they rather for somebody else to come by and make a new transaction and make a new translation. Amen. And conform the Word of God to their way more than they had to conform the way that they're living unto the Word of God. Amen. Amen. The public Bible. I said the public Bible. Who is the public Bible? Amen. I tell you who the public Bible is. The public Bible is them that have been washed in the blood. It is them that have been regenerated by the new and the faith. It is them that have been claimed by the grace of God. It's them that's been arrested by the Spirit of the Lord. It's them that's been saved and washed by His precious blood and have the name, amen, written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, we find out who is the public Bible. If you don't mind, Brother Greg, get me that chair right there. Son, will you let me have that fold that and be fine. Put it right out in the, here in the front. I mean, there's all manner of forms and there's all manner of sizes. I mean, you can buy Bibles that are big, you can buy them small. You can buy them thick and you can buy them thin. I mean, you can buy just about any kind of translation you want. You can buy just about any kind you want. And it's fine, it's getting harder and harder, amen, to find a decent Bible here in America. I said it's getting harder and harder to find a decent Bible here in America. But let me assure you one thing, friend. If they take every Bible off of the shelf, if they take every one of them and burn them in a fire, amen, the Word of God still hid in my heart. And I want to live a life, and I want to be a Bible that the young generation can look to and say, if I'll read his life, and if I'll watch his life, and if I'll do like he's a doing, I can make heaven my home. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen, sister. I've seen you in these altars crying night by night. Amen. If this Word of God that's precious to your soul, if it was taken away and given to another, amen, and that one sitting beside you, amen, if her Word was taken away from her and given to another, amen, and you didn't find the Word of God and you couldn't remember what the Scripture said and you had no place to find the Bible, you know what you've got to do? You've got to look to the grandmothers. You've got to look to the gray hairs. And you've got to look to the elders. You've got to look to the born again. You've got to watch them that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb and say they're going going to live a life and they're going to witness to me through their life. They're becoming my Bible. They're becoming the public Bible for me to read. I don't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. She don't have the Bible anymore. Amen. She don't have the Word to turn to. Amen. Come on, saints. I'm telling you right here. Somebody's got the leader. Somebody's got the director. Somebody's got to show what to do. And it's lift up to you and I to show this generation which way to go. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. You know what happens when the Bibles are taken away? Amen. And you can't find them. We've got all sizes. We've got all kinds. As I've already told you, we've got small and large. We've got thin and thick. I mean, we've got all kinds. But brother, if it is not there for you to turn to, amen, and find it for a shirt, amen, you know what happens? You've got to look to somebody, amen, that shows you the way and directs your path. Amen. So you know what to do? Amen. Sister, will you come? Amen. Sit down here in this chair up front. Do you mind? Amen. Come right up here. Amen. I don't know this sister that's sitting or sat in this seat, but I heard her testify. Amen. That there was a lot of wrong, but the Lord made everything right. And the night she got saved, there was no more wrong. Amen. And the Lord taught her how to be a mother. And the Lord taught her how to be a wife. And the Lord taught her how to be a saint. Amen. So you know what happens? Amen. If there's no Bible for that generation, if there's no Bible, amen, for this little girl over here, amen, she comes to the public Bible and she begins to read this life. Amen. And she watches this life. And she said, that's a mother in Israel. That's a child of God. I've seen her pray. I've seen her seek God. Amen. I've seen her go through the fiery trials with the hands in the air. I've seen her hold on to God through the thick and thin. I've seen her magnify God. Amen. Through it all, she becomes a public Bible. She becomes a public Bible read among all men. Somebody's got to read your life. Somebody's going to read your life. What kind of Bible are you tonight? What kind of Bible are you tonight? What kind of Bible are we tonight? I'm telling you right here. Amen. We got to have somebody to be a Bible for this generation. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. So someone has got to look to her. Amen. Examine her. Amen. Come on, listen to me. Amen. Listen to me. I live my life because of what I believe. Not because of what my wife believes, or no matter what my children believe. Amen. My daughter told me last night, let me clear this up. My daughter told me last night, said, Daddy, you made it sound like I plucked my eyebrows. And she said, I want you to make it clear that I've never done that. And I want to make it clear tonight. I didn't mean my daughter plucked her eyebrows. When I was preaching last night on plucking eyebrows and moving up 1/16 of an inch and drawing a black line across the eye. No, she hasn't done it. She's had the Holy Ghost ever since she's been 9 years old. Got it in a youth camp. Been filled, brother. She's 17 tonight and still got the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But somebody, this becomes the public Bible for somebody to read. Thank you, sister. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Who's this young folks leader? Amen. Come. Who is it? Come in, Brother Craig. Amen. Amen. What about this little fellow right here? Amen. I told him the other night, I said, let me sit up here among the prophets. Amen. Let me sit up here among the redeemed. And I sat down between these young fellows. But what happens? Amen. If this young man doesn't find the Bible, amen, it's taken and give to someone else. Amen. What about this young fella? Amen. If he doesn't have a Bible to go by, amen, he cannot find the Bible. Amen. It's taken away from him. You say, oh, Brother Roberts, amen, let him just flow. Let him go. Do what he wants to do. But what about the false epistles? What about the people that's going to come in, amen, and teach things that's not right? What about them that's going to come in and tell things that's not true? Amen. You know what happens? We've got to have a
public Bible, brother. We got to have somebody that's going to live a life. That's the reason we want everybody in an office, amen, to be full of the power of God. That's the reason we want their life to be dedicated. That's the reason we want them to be faithful. And when they're no longer faithful, and they're no longer praying, and they no longer coming to church, I say move them out of the seat, and don't let them be a public Bible anymore. Amen. Find somebody that's going to live a life and live it holy and righteous. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. These young folks are looking at you, son. You're their leader. Amen. There's as much load on your shoulders for these young folks as they are upon this pastor's shoulders for this church. Amen. Every soul, they're looking at you. Amen. Every time they hear you say something you ought not to say. Amen. They'll go home and they can repeat it. Amen. And mama gets on them. Then they look and say, well, my youth director says it. Amen. I don't care, friend. Let's become a Bible that is rid among all men. Amen. There's all manner of false teachers. There's all manner of false doctrine going around in America. And we need to get on fire for God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. There was a time, amen, that there was not a Genesis. There was a time that there was not an Exodus. There was a time there was not a Leviticus. There was a time there was not, amen, a Numbers and a Deuteronomy. There was a time there was not a Joshua. There was a time there was not a Ruth. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? Amen. They wrote them as they went through the trials. They recorded them as the events took place. You read the book of Deuteronomy. Amen. It's nothing but a survey of the things that have been and the things that's already happened. He gives them a survey. He rehearses it in their ears. But there was a time there was not one of them. What about them that rose up such as Korah and would say, wait a minute, Moses, you're taking too much on yourself, seeing that the whole congregation is holy. Amen. But Moses said, if I be a man chosen of God, amen, you will die a strange death. And if you die a natural death as other men die, then God's not chosen me. You know what happened to Korah and all them that followed him and obtained to him? Brother, the earth opened up and swallowed them up, and they went down to the pit. Amen. You know what we need? We need men and women that are living a life that everybody can say, that's the life I want to live. Hallelujah. But as sad as it is, as sad as it is, listen to me, as sad as it is, in a congregation that's the size of this congregation, we've got too many translations of the Bible. I said, we got too many translations of the Bible. Amen. Sister, will you come? You mind sitting in this chair? Yes, do you mind? Amen. See, now we've got a mother here in Israel. We've got a dear saint of God. We've got one that's fought the fire. We've got one that's been through the trials. We've got one that the devil's breathed down her shoulders, amen, and across her neck many, many times. Amen. But here's a translation. Here is an action. Here is the word put in the action. I said, here is a word put in the action. Amen. This word right here, the life she lives, amen, has been an inspiration to many of you under the sound of my voice. Amen. Many of you have watched her life. Amen. And you pattern your prayer life after her. And you pattern your living after her. You know why? Because she's been a Bible that's been read. She's been the word in action around you. She's proved to you that she stands when everything was fighting against her. Amen. She proved to you, amen, that she'd make it when everything else was against her. She proved to you that she could live holy and righteous when the devil said, I'll destroy you and I'll kill you and I'll destroy your home and I'll pull you down. But the living word was still in effect. And this sister right here has stood through it when the storms blew and the winds came and the waves were high. But after the sun arose, we saw with the hands in the air. Amen. Said, I'm still saved. I'm still redeemed. I'm still holding on to my God. She's a living Bible. She's a living word. Amen. She's the Bible put into action. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I don't know anything about these folks. Amen. But I've heard them testify. I've watched them this week. I've talked to this sister a little bit last night. Amen. With Brother Mark. Brother Mike. Amen. But how many knows she's been an inspiration to us? Been an inspiration to us. I say, been an inspiration to us. Hallelujah. You say, oh, Brother Craig. Brother Greg, why does everybody always pick certain folks out? Why aren't they always the one that's picked out? Because they fought it. They've been the Bible, brother. They've been the Bible. Amen, sister. I don't know where, I don't know what your problem's been, God forbid. Amen. But when you seem like you're standing all alone, and there's nobody with you, and it seems like your friends and loved ones is all miles and miles away. Amen. And you don't know what to do. Right there's a Bible. Right there's a Bible. Right there's a Bible. Brother, that Bible right there will put her arms around you. Amen. And hold you tight and say, I'll help you weather the storm. I'll help you weather the storm. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I feel like preaching. Amen. I'm telling you, saints. Amen. What we need is the Word of God put in the action in our lives. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. We've had all kinds. I said we've had good ones, we've had bad ones. Now listen. Amen. We've had all manner of translations. Right here in a crowd such as this. We got one translation. We've got one translation. We've got one translation that says, I believe you got to do this to have the Holy Ghost. But what about the other translations? It says that you can have the Holy Ghost and do any kind of thing. Oh, amen. If we didn't have the Word of God, how easy would it be for us to be led astray? You may say, oh, but Brother Roberts, we've got the Word of God. Amen. Can't you see what the devils are doing with these new translations? Amen. He's taken away. He's taken away. I said he's taken away from us. Amen, friend. I don't know how far we'll go. I don't know how low we'll go. I don't know what the outcome may be altogether. But I believe there'll be a day that we've got to have one another. I said I believe there's going to be a day that, brother, these people, such as this young man right here, is going to need somebody to show him the way. Amen. It may not have open public meetings such as we're having now. I don't know. But somebody's got to direct it. Somebody's got to become a Bible to him. My nephew's lost. He traveled with me, moved in, had some problems at home. He called me and said, Uncle Greg, do you care if I move in with you? I told him, I said, son, I don't mind. I'd buy my roof, so there ain't no need of coming. I said, you'll do like I say do, or there ain't no need of staying. I said, go on and let me drive this part home. Amen. I don't want nobody to fall out with me. But I believe in correction of the child. Amen. I believe there's a right way and I believe there's a wrong way. I told you I have no use for child abuse. But I don't believe a child ought to ever sass a parent. Amen. I believe there's a right way. I told my nephew, he's of age. I told him, I said, Davis, you're welcome, son. You know you're welcome to move in with Uncle Greg and Aunt Faith. I said, but you've got to live according to my rules. Put your feet under my table, eat my groceries, sleeping in my beds. I said, you'll do like I tell you to do. Amen. And we was traveling out on the field. I told Davis Ray, I told him, I said, son, I said, I'm giving you ample time. I want you to start trying to break the habit of cigarette smoking. I said, you look so much like my boys. When I get up to preach and I preach against cigarette smoking, and I do preach against it. I said, I believe it's wrong. I believe it's harmful to your health. Amen. And I believe it's damnable to your soul. And I told him, I said, oh, come on, saints. I said, come come on. I can't hardly hear you. Amen. I said, I want you to start trying to break the habit. And I want you to try to quit. Amen. David's tried. He traveled a long ways with us. I said, there'll be no smoking around the church. There'll be no smoking on the church ground. There'll be no church smoking in my trailer. He knew all of that. Amen. He done the best he could. Stay with us for months. But one day he told me, he said, Uncle Greg, he said, I'd like to go back home. I said, I want you to stay with me, son. But he decided to go. Amen. The boy's still lost tonight, as far as I know. But there's been folks that's been all with him. Amen. And they'll be gathered around drinking. And somebody will say something. And he'll look at them and say, I don't believe in that. And I don't believe that's right. And they'll say, why don't you believe that's right? And he said, because my Uncle Greg's a holiness preacher. And my Uncle Greg don't do it. And if he don't do it, I believe it's wrong. I said, he'll tell you. You know why? Brother, because I tried to be a Bible to him. I tried to live the life in front of him. Amen. It is our duty as children of God to live a life holy. Amen. Undefiled in this adulterous and sinful and lustful generation. Amen. I said, amen. He come up to the house not long ago. Him and young man got in an argument about some things. And we found out about it. I went to him. I found out, sir, I told him, I said, son, you need to settle down. And he said, he ain't going to tell me that you ain't saved. I said, son, he don't even know me. He don't know if I'm saved or not. He said, I don't care, I know you. Amen. I'm not pinning flowers on myself. Oh, no, I'm the least among the least that's numbered among us tonight. But I'm trying to tell you, what we need is some Bibles. What we need is some Bibles. What we need is some Bibles. Amen. Listen to me, sinner. Amen. You are reading somebody's life, and somebody's reading your life. What about that little girl of yours? What about that little boy of yours? What about that companion of thine? Somebody's reading your life. Somebody's reading. We've got all manner. Amen. We have the ancient manuscripts. And in the ancient manuscripts, we had all manner of versions of the ancient manuscripts. Oh, yes, we did. But in the year 1320, amen, through 1384, there's a man by the name of John Wycliffe that said, I want the Bible translated into the English language. And I want the Englishman to be able to understand the Word of God. Amen. These men lost their lives trying to turn the Word of God around so you and I could have a holy Bible. So you and I could have a Bible to read. You can spun the Word of God, become more interested in football players, amen, and car race drivers than you do the Word of God. But brother, there's nobody that'll never take the place of a Word of God. I said never. Amen. John Wycliffe gave his life, amen, to translate the Bible into English. Amen. And then in 1525 through 1530, we had a man by the name of William Tandor. Amen. That said, I want to translate it with a greater translation. Amen. And not in 1535. Amen. Or in 1530. William Tanner had to flee for his life. He had to leave all his manuscripts behind. He had to leave all the translations behind. He had to run for his life. But as they burned him at the stake, his last words were, oh Lord, will you open the King of England's eyes? Will you open his eyes? As they burn him at the stake, that give you and I a Bible to know how to live. If they sacrificed their life for you and I, that we would know how to live, why don't we live a life that's holy and righteous in the sight of a generation that is coming up behind us? Amen. 1530, William Turner had to leave. He fled for his life. Amen. 5 years later, a friend of his by the name of Miles Cardinal, Cardale, amen, took those translations, the writings that he had, John Wycliffe had, William Tyndale had, and he began to inspire it again. He built the flame again, wrote it again, trying to get Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to our hands. Trying to get Acts and Romans and Corinthians to our hands. Amen. Trying to get all the epistles given to you and I, Brother Greg, that you and I would know how to live this life. Amen. They run for their lives. They've done everything they could do. Amen. And then in 1537, we had the Matthew's Bible. Amen. It appertained to the time of Carl's second edition. Amen. And then in 1539, we had the great translation of the great Bible. Then in 1560, amen, we had the Geneva Bible. 1568. Brother, it cleared us and it's guided us through many storms. Amen. We may have all manner of translations, and we may have all manner of kinds, and we may have all manner of sizes. But brother, the greatest Bible you will ever see is a man or woman that's living holy and righteous in the sight of a never failing God. Did you hear what I said? I said the greatest Bible you will ever see, amen, is a Bible that is born again and walking in the sight of God, holy and righteous, being led by the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. 1611, we had it. Amen. The King James Version that they're trying to do away with now. Amen. And then in 1881 through 1884, amen, they wrote the Revised Version. And then in 1900 to 1901, they wrote the American Standard Bible. Amen. And then in 1952, we had the Revised Standard Version. 1959, we had the Berkeley Bible. 1965, they came out with the Amplified Bible. 1966, we had the Jerusalem Bible. 1970, we had the New English Bible. Amen. And then in 1971, we had the New American Standard Bible. And then in 1971 also, they come out with the Living Bible. Amen. It's better known today as the English Version, or Good News for Modern Man. Amen. That come out in 1976. And then in 1978, we've got the NIV Bible, or in other words, the New International Version. And then in 1982, they come out with the New King James Version. Amen. And then we've got like the New Testament of the New King James Version that was published in 1979. But in 1982, they come out with the New King James Version. Amen. You know what they're doing? They're trying to tear the Word of God down. They're trying to do away with points in it. You say, oh, Brother Roberts, it's of greater value. Oh, is it, my friend? I said, is it, my friend? Amen. Or is our life to be the greatest Bible? Amen. To be read among all people. Our lives. Our life. Our life. It doesn't matter. You say, Brother Roberts, I'm not saved. I don't care. Your life is leading somebody. Your life is leading somebody. I say, your life is leading somebody. Amen. If ever Presley could stand before you tonight, he'd say, my life leads some folks astray. Are you hearing me? He'd tell you, he said, don't sing, the King is gone, for there's a King that we'll all have to meet. Amen. It's a shame when we claim to have the Holy Ghost and we desire for our daughters to look like some movie star that knows nothing about Jesus Christ. It's a shame when we say we've got the Holy Ghost and we're holiness and we want our sons to be look more like some rock singer, country singer, amen, than we do a child of God. Amen. Oh, you hear me? Somebody's reading your life. What kind of Bible are you? What kind of Bible are you? Amen. Listen, there's written epistles that were being written. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have it all compressed together and condensed into one volume in one book, such as you and I have. So therefore, we look to people and their lives. And we say, he's setting the example. She's living the life. And I'd rather my boy to be like Mike Nichols than Garth Brooks. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? I'd rather my boy to be like Brother Jerry than some wrestling star. I'd rather for my girl to be like Sister Nichols and my wife than to be like Madonna and Madonna. That's right. That's right. Did you hear me? I'd rather my daughter have the glory of God than for her to be like Liz Taylor. If I can say this without anybody getting upset with me, I'd rather know that my heart's right where it is right here tonight. And I'm miles away from my family, my church, and my people. I'd rather know that I'm steadfast in my liberty in God and know I'm steadfast in holiness and be right here, amen, than to be gathered with the best presidents and kings and queens of all nations. Of all nations. I'm telling you, friend, I'd rather for my family to line up to the life of somebody that I know has weathered the storm and made it. What about it, Brother Greg? Is there anybody in this church that you've watched? They've been an inspiration to you? Amen. What about it, saints? Are there anybody around? There's somebody close to you's been an inspiration to you that you've read them. Page by page. You watched them day by day. You watched them in troublesome time. You watched them in glorious times. You watched their life in hardship. And you watched it in days of rejoicing. And they always manifested the works of Christ. They always showed forth the right spirit. What about it, Brother Jerry? You a minister of the gospel from this church. Are there anybody outside of Brother Mike that's been an inspiration to you in this church? Amen. Listen to me. I was saved under Brother Henry Shepherd. I was baptized by him. I got the Holy Ghost under his ministry. He later became my pastor. I followed him for years and years. I'm pastoring the church he just left. He was a great inspiration. He was my friend and my buddy. He was not only a man of God, not only a buddy of mine in the gospel, he was a friend of mine on the job. We worked side by side. Amen. He was an inspiration to me. Some years ago, I met a man by the name of Winford King. It looked like I just moved in with him, my family and his family. My children raised up around his boy and his girl. I've lived in his home many, many days. We stood side by side week after week preaching the gospel. We've been on mission trips all over the world. We stood in country side by side and preached. A month ago he called me. We went to the Bronx in Manhattan, preached twice a day on the street. He said, I want you to go with me. I said, I'm on my way. I flew to New York City and we preached side by side. He's been an inspiration to me. I've said, Lord, if there's anybody I'd like to be like, I'd like to be like Winford King. I like to preach like that man preaches. He don't preach a lot of camp meetings because he preaches against wholeness. He's not in the cliques. He's not in the pact. He's not among the, amen, them that are in the cliques, brother. Amen. No man, no man's person is anything to him. He preaches against everything, brother. He takes a stand against sin. I've seen him shut his eyes, get down on his knees, and preach the sweat run out of his shirt sleeve like water. Not drip out, run out, while sinners run by him to the altar, asking God to save on them, screaming and crying, running by him. I said, Lord, I'd like to be like Winford King. He's been an inspiration to me. Amen, brother. When I heard that there was a man that come drug him out of his house because he prayed for his boy, and he looked at that woman and said, your boy will not have to be operated on. And that night they rushed the boy to the emergency room. He was definitely sick, and the man got mad, come over Brother King's house, drug him out of his house, snatched him out in the yard and beat him with his fist, beat him with a toy gun, a BB gun, and then took a wagon and beat Brother King. And Brother King, with blood rolling out of his face, out of his eyes, out of his ear, as that man stood on top of him and put his foot and rubbed it in his face. And Brother King said, your boy will not have to be operated on. God told me to die when I prayed for him. He said, you're a liar. But he beat Brother King. He kept beating him and keep beating him. But Brother King said, your boy will not have to be operated on. He got up finally. They got him off. The law got there and pulled him off of Brother King. Brother King went in and looked at that mirror. His wife had cried. And Brother King walked to that mirror and took a rag and began to wash his face. And he said, Lord, he said, I'm going to ask one thing of you. I'm going to ask in the morning when I go to that hospital. He said, I'm going to ask, let there be no scab, let there be no scar, let there be no mark on my face. And his wife embraced him and said, Winford, you can't go to that hospital. There's no way you can go to that hospital. He beat you like a dog tonight. And you're talking about going. He said, I'm going to pray for that boy. God told me tonight when I prayed for him that that boy wouldn't have to be operated on. I believe it. Amen. He went back there the next day. They put that boy in the hospital that night. He went to the hospital the next morning early. And that daddy met him. He looked at Brother King and said, I ought to kill you. I beat you last night. I ought to kill you right here. Brother King said, I'm telling you, God told me that that boy would not have to have an operation. And right there in the hospital, that man grabbed Brother King again and went to beating on him. But Brother King said, I'm telling you, God told me, never fought back, never argue with it. Amen. Never tried to defend himself. Amen. He's been an inspiration of my life. I said, he's been an inspiration of my life. Amen. The doctors come in to get that boy. Brother King said, sir, I'm a minister of the gospel. I pastor the Southport Community Wholeness Church. I want to know if you'll do one operation. I mean, one x-ray. Amen. To see if this boy's really going to have an operation. He told the doctor what had happened. That doctor said, for your sake, I'll do it. He went down, took that boy to x-ray, examined the x-rays, took him back down, had x-rays, called doctors in, took him back down, had more x-rays, called more doctors in, come back up, told him, said, take the boy home. He's sitting up on the bed, he's doing good. Amen, there's nothing wrong with him. Amen, that boy's nearby crawled, and he has never had an operation. What are you saying, Brother Roberts? I'm saying that's a Bible for somebody to read. That's a Bible for somebody to read. Bible for somebody to read. Amen. Can I preach just a few more moments? Just a few more. I read the book. I'm reading the book. I'm not completed with it. The little paperback book you gave me last night. I'm reading it. I've read most of it today. Amen. The man preached, brother, when he walked 8 and 10 miles. Amen. Said that he preached a revival and ate 1 meal in 2 weeks. Ate 1 meal in 2 weeks, but he preached the gospel. Said he didn't even know how to preach. All he could do was read the scripture and say, well, let's see what the next scripture has to say. But souls were saved. Souls were saved. I said, souls were saved. I met a young man by the name of Brother Denmark King some years ago. I was preaching a revival, and Brother Denmark King stood up and he said, I like to testify. I feel like testifying. He said, I went to a certain town to preach a meeting. Said things were so tough. I was staying in one of the Sunday school rooms with no heat. Said they didn't send me any cover, and I was taking anything I couldn't cover up trying to stay warm. And said I ate a box of soda crackers and drank a quart of buttermilk in a week and a half. He said, but God gave me revival. Brother, that's an inspiration. I said, that's an inspiration. I said, that is an inspiration. An inspiration. What about it? How many public Bibles do we have here tonight? How many public Bibles? Sister, tonight when you testified about the crossroads, you ain't got to take the duck head. I've been there. I've been there where I fought for days what to do to myself. Listen, saints. Listen, saints. As I close, I'm married to a good holiness woman. A good holiness woman. I don't have to fear. I don't have to fret. I don't have to worry. She stays in her place. Good holiness praying woman. Brother, when I was down so low, I didn't know what to do. Sister Robert said, we'll make it. We will make it. When I started on the evangelistic field, wasn't as well known as I ended up being. I told my children many times when they would say, Daddy, why don't you go back home? Why don't you go back home to that $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 a year that was offered to you? Why don't you go back? I said, because God called me out here. And I said, if you'll stay with Daddy and Mama, if you'll stay with us, one day we won't ride by of a Burger King. One day we won't ride by of a McDonald's. One day you'll enjoy the best steakhouses the country's got to offer. I said, you stay with Daddy and Mama. You stay with me. There'll be a day that you won't be sleeping on the floor in this travel trailer. There'll be a day that you won't have to do all those things. I said, you'll have a place in heaven. You'll have a place in heaven. I've got 3 children. I've got 3 children God's blessed me with. They've been wonderful. They've been great. They stayed with Mom and Daddy. They stayed in there with us. Brother, they've been an inspiration to many. I took a church just about a year and something ago. The other week, somebody stood up and said, I just want to tell Selena, she's been a great inspiration to me. When things were so hard and things were being said about her dad and things were saying about her mom, she came to the church with her hands in the air and she prayed. Somebody else stood up and said, I feel the same way about Selena. When I talked about her, she showed me the right spirit. Another stood up and said, I want to apologize. I feel the same way. The next Sunday, they had a pastor's appreciation service at the church for me and my family. I'm telling you, friend, when you're beat down to the bars and the bras and you don't know what to do, somebody's reading your life. Somebody's still turning the pages of your life. Now listen, I don't care if you go back home and talk to every banker. I don't care if you deal in my personal business, that you're welcome to. You deal in my bank accounts, you deal with where I owe, you deal with my creditors, deal with wherever. My life is a written epistle of all men. There's nothing, no secret. I do not do anything under the table that I'd be ashamed of to be brought to light. I don't do business transactions and take bribes that I feel like's going to condemn me on down the road. My life is open to whomsoever desired. I feel like somebody's helped somebody in this church. If you don't mind tonight, if you don't mind, I wonder if somebody would go to somebody, maybe. Maybe put your arms around them and say, "You've helped me." Will you stand to your feet? Brother Mike, Sister Nichols, will you come stand in front of this church? Will you come? These are not the only. Though this man has been awake many hours laboring for your soul, and this sister knelt beside you and prayed while others were sitting on the pew and prayed with you, she's not the only. He's not the only one that's been an inspiration to some of you. There's others that's been inspirations to you. There's others that's been Bibles to you. But I know for a surety, as the shepherd of this flock, Brother Mike and Sister Nichols has been an inspiration to you. Son, this is the kind of man you want to be. Son, this is the kind of man you want to be. Young lady, this is the kind of woman you want to be. Sisters, this kind of woman you want to be. This kind of lady, this kind of saint you want to be. But not only that, know that you've helped her and she's helped you. And I wonder tonight, sinner friend, if there's somebody here that's helped you. I wonder tonight, sinner friend, if there's somebody here you know that's helped you. You say, "Brother Roberts, I'm not saved. I don't care. You know they helped you."